I'm John Gray, and welcome to John Gray's World.
It's totally acceptable to show your passion and to jump up and down and shout, but in here, the enemy wants you to stay quiet and docile. No, I'm not waiting until football season to give somebody praise. I'm gonna take a few seconds right here and right now. I'll cheerlead for Jesus right here. Is there anybody that's excited about Jesus? Is there anybody that loves Jesus? Because he stretched himself to meet with you and I when we were not worthy. This is our faith.
Fresh word, fresh perspective, and a whole lot of hallelujah. John Gray's World. Boom.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, gather around your TV set and your smartphone device or your computer and get this word from the Lord. Welcome. God bless you. It's John Gray, and welcome to John Gray's World. I truly consider it an honor to be right here to share God's word with you and to be a part of what TBN is doing to bring the gospel to those in need. Today, I'm super excited. Why? Because we're going to be focusing on Jesus. What better subject is there? Hello. He is the original bridge builder. This is an important subject to me because my life has been designed to build bridges between race, between class, between any other thing that divides us in the body of Christ. I fight to go to uncomfortable places to be a bridge so people can see the blood of Jesus through a different lens. This is a critical subject because we are in a world where people are being divided, even in the body of Christ. Yet Jesus has us, his body, on the earth to build a bridge to every people group on the planet. We are the bridge to the brokenhearted. We are the bridge to the lost. We are the bridge to those who have no hope. And when we cross that bridge, we cross over with the cross of Christ and we bring them back into a knowledge of the salvation found only in the blood. You're going to see the power that comes when the church welcomes people into fellowship, regardless of race, ideology, economic status, or background. Because our relationship with God is not behavior-based, it is confession-based. You confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and you shall be saved. Now, salvation is a decision, but sanctification is a process. And it's time for us to discover the dynamic power that is released when we all come together freely in the presence of God in love. Watch this message, and I'll see you right after it's over. Don't go anywhere. Press that red DVR button. Go on, let these ratings people know you watch church TV too.
If you'll do me a favor and go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. First thing I want to say is that this is really a very simple message, but I believe if we grab the principles within this message, we will be stronger in our faith and better as a community of believers. The truth is, we got too many walls going up, folks. Too many walls in society, too many walls of differences. There are so many things attempting to separate us and divide us, and I believe that it is the call of the church to build bridges. Bridges of understanding between cultures, between races, between ethnicities, political ideologies, but bridges of understanding for those who are believers and non-believers. I want to talk for the time that I have with you from the subject, the bridge. The bridge. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting at the 5th verse, reading from the New King James Version, this is what the writer says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all." A mediator is someone who attempts to bring competing parties or parties who are disconnected or in disagreement into a place of common ground. A mediator is actually, in effect, a bridge of communication. Because many times relationships and communication are often disconnected because I could say one thing and you could hear another based on who you are and your perspective and the way you were raised, I could say one thing, but it could translate into another way. A mediator helps what I'm saying to get across to the other party in a way that they are able to receive it. A mediator builds bridges. A mediator finds common ground. A mediator fights to bring both people, both parties to the middle, to a place of agreement. And sometimes someone who is diametrically opposed based on the mediator's wisdom is able to bring them to the other side of the bridge, and there is peace instead of pain. I like this scripture because the Bible also says that Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, the man and Jesus, Christ Jesus, the anointed of God, the man. He was fully God and fully man. He was 200%. This is the Christophany. This is the mystery of the gospel in a nutshell, that God inhabited a body, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the prophesied Messiah, who built the bridge between broken humanity and perfect divinity. This is who Jesus was, a bridge for those of us who could not get back to God on our own. More than ever, we need the church to be a bridge to people who are hurting, who are lost, who are broken. And we talk about it, but the truth is, there are more people out there who don't know what's going on in here. And the only way they're gonna find out about it is if you and I build bridges to let them know that they are welcomed inside of this place and inside of the arms of Jesus Christ. The truth is, times have changed. We're not as nice as we used to be. It's just not the same. I just met one of my neighbors. We recently moved, my wife and children, and we moved. And yesterday, our neighbor across the street came over and said hello. And it was so refreshing that somebody said hi, because when you move in, I don't want to just go to your house, especially because I'm big and brown. I don't want to get tased. I'm like, I live here, I promise. I just moved in, so. Please, don't spray no mace. We had a nice conversation, she said her and her husband have children. I told her, my wife and I, we've got two small kids, and, you know, we just had very good, you know, conversation, and hopefully we'll continue the dialogue, and prayerfully a friendship will ensue. But that's rare these days, that people extend themselves out of their comfort zone. Back in the day, it wasn't like that. Your neighbors were extended family. When I was growing up, I knew who lived next door. Miss Baker, we all went to the same church. Miss Baker had a three-level house. She lived on one level. Her daughter and her two kids, Dwight and Miko, lived on the main level. Somebody else lived on the second level. And up the street, on the other side, Mr. Harrison and his wife lived on the block probably 30 years. Mr. Harrison was a man of faith. He planted banana trees in Cincinnati. Now, you got to have faith to plant banana trees in a non-tropical climate. Every summer, just looking at leaves, not one banana, not one banana. Monkeys would be flying in from all over the country just waiting, sitting on the side. I wish a banana would, bro. I'm waiting. Not this year. We leaving. We out of here. Next door to him was Mr. and Mrs. Leroy Oliver, and they had children and grandchildren, and the grandchildren were friends with me. That was Dana Avenue in Cincinnati, and they treated me like family. They let me have food. I used to eat all their food, too much food. Don't judge me. Don't judge. God has enlarged my territory. Sometimes they see me walking up the street to the house. They be like, turn off the lights, close the curtains, here he comes. Does his mama ever feed him? Jesus. But it was family. And not just in the good times. When I acted up, I got in trouble at their house, and then they called Alice. And when I got home, she was sitting on the couch with a Bible and a belt. Lord Jesus, I know you watching, Ma. Why'd you have to have the belt and the Bible, baby? Just spank me and let's move on. Don't quote Jesus while you're spanking me. The Bible says, respect adults. Today, they would call the people on her. I told her, well, I'm gonna call the people. She said, if you can reach the phone. We used to have block parties connected to one another, but now we're disconnected. And I think a lot of what's going on in society is because we're so disconnected. Social media has taken over interpersonal relationships. We would rather text than talk. We would rather Snapchat and tweet than engage in conversation. I even had to deal with the reality of how far I had gotten disconnected from my own family. My son was sitting on my lap and he was talking to me and I was busy doing something via email or whatever, and my son shook my arm. He's 4 years old. He said, "Daddy, look at me. Look at me." And then he said what he said again. And what I realized is that my son didn't just want to be around me. He wanted to be connected to me. And he wanted me to connect to him. And in the same way that my son wanted my attention, our Heavenly Father wants our attention. It's not enough just to come into this building. And if we're still distracted, we miss the beauty and benefit of the intimacy and the fellowship that we can have with our Father. For the next 15, 20 minutes, let's lean in and engage, because maybe, just maybe, God wants to speak to you right where you are. The truth is, it's hard to engage with my son because he's four. And I don't have a lot in common with a four-year-old. We don't like the same things. We don't communicate on the same level. I'm not really excited about The Good Dinosaur and Lion King for the 5,000th time, and Nemo. And I know where Dory is. We found her, son. We found her. Jesus. And my daughter is the princess. What's the thing, the Frozen thing? She wants all the princess dresses, and she wants to wear the frilly outfits, and they want to talk and engage, but the reality is that's not my world. So I literally have to bend to where they are in order to engage them, because it matters to them that I am connected to them. And in the same way, God has bent down to where we are. And even though his ways are not our ways or his thoughts are thoughts, he bends down to meet us where we are. He connects to us in our pain. He celebrates when we're joyous. He fights for us when we're hurting. This is the love that God has for us. And if you know, like I know, that God has stretched himself to meet with us, can we just give him a praise and a thanksgiving?
The enemy is working to divide us. Through circumstances and situations, we're witnessing growing levels of separation in families, between friends, and within the people of our nation. But Christ has overcome the enemy, and in his new three-part series, Bridge Builders, Destroying the Barriers That Separate, Pastor John Gray says, enough is enough. John Gray exposes the devilish tactics that bring strife, mistrust, and discord, and reveals how God's blessings flow and his love brings unity. This is such a timely message. We want to send you your own copy of Bridge Builders as our thank you for your gift of support to TBN. Take a moment right now to call or go securely and conveniently online to choose your level of giving and request your special resources. Let God bridge the divides that separate us and become his instrument of unity and reconciliation. Don't wait. Call now.
It's funny, because for many of us, that was a very nice, pleasant applause. And that's great, because I understand that we are in a certain church setting. But let me tell you something. God did not stoop down out of obligation. He stoops down out of passion. He stretches himself because he loves us. And even though some of the stuff we're talking about would not make sense to a divine, perfect being, he makes himself available out of his passion. And don't tell me you don't have passion, because in a few weeks, stadiums all over this country are going to be filled with people shouting for a football team that they don't know, and they're going to be high-fiving strangers and hugging people they would never talk to outside of that stadium, and they're going to be sitting there drinking their root beer and their sodas. And isn't it funny that at that stadium, it's totally acceptable to show your passion and to jump up and down and shout, but in here, the enemy wants you to stay quiet and docile? No, I'm not waiting until football season to give somebody praise. I'm gonna take a few seconds right here and right now. I'll cheerlead for Jesus right here. Is there anybody that's excited about Jesus? Is there anybody that loves Jesus? Jesus, because he stretched himself to meet with you and I when we were not worthy. This is our faith. I need an 8-second praise break in here. High five three people, tell them he stretched for me. He stretched for me. Now I feel the Holy Ghost. I said I feel the Holy Ghost in here. This 11 o'clock, y'all trying to make me act up. I'm trying to be all with my suit on, but I feel the presence of God. Do you understand how far God stretched for us? Because whether you know it or not, there was a great distance between us and God, but it wasn't always that way. We were family. Whether you know it or not, we're still family. Different backgrounds, different shades, different ideologies, but we are nonetheless family. I know me and Dr. Paul don't look alike, but we are family. Because the same blood that saved him saved me. That makes us blood related. I got white family, I got brown family, I've got yellow family, I've got Indian family, I've got Filipino family, I've got Asian family, Colombian family, Mexican family. Yeah, Mexicana. It'd be like 8 of y'all in the car, 9 of us in the car. You know how we roll? Family. This is the power of Jesus. How amazing is it that a Jewish Jesus who lived over 2,000 years ago saved African American me and white you and red you and green you and yellow you and whatever other color, and the only color that matters is red, and it's the blood of Jesus. The blood is the bridge. Oh, somebody get that in your spirit. The blood is the bridge. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 14 says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." I love that it says, "I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." You got family. Tell somebody, you got family. This is important because when you struggle, you need to know you're not struggling alone. You've got family. That's what the community of faith is. That's what Lakewood is. That's what the local church is. It's your family. We fight for one another. Now, even though we might argue, somebody on the outside can't talk about you. I might, ooh, me and you, ooh, you get on my nerves. Let somebody else say, you don't talk about them, that's family. That's family, we're family. We fight for one another, we pray for one another, we believe. Why? Because we cross the same bridge. The blood is the bridge. We're family, but because of sin, we got disconnected. See, it was all good in the garden. God, the perfect divine essence of all creation, the creator, the omniscient one, the omnipotent one, decided he wanted to have family. And so he stepped into the earth and put his hand in the dust and formed it and breathed into this dust creature's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And God created family. Adam was the first family member. And as Adam began working and working so hard, our Heavenly Father said it's not good for him to be alone, made him a helper. And now Adam and Eve and God, the first family. What a beautiful picture of uninterrupted fellowship, of true intimacy, of true connection. And that's what the Father always wanted. Whether you know it or not, God wants to talk to you. He wants to spend time with you. He's intimately committed to every detail of your life. But of course, we know what happened in the garden. Sin showed up, that no good serpent came in, and Adam and Eve made bad decisions, decisions that the Bible calls sin. And sin separated Adam and Eve from the uninterrupted and intimate fellowship that they shared with the Father. Let me tell you something about sin. Sin was a problem then, it's still a problem now. Let me just make this clear that, you know, in a watered down time when people want to talk about issues and everybody's got issues, let me tell you something. I can get counseling for my issues, but you can't counsel devils. You got to cast them out, and only Jesus can do that. We still need the blood of Jesus. We still need to believe that he can save us, that he died for our sins. Amen? And so let me tell you a couple things that sin does if left unchecked. Number one, sin creates distance. Sin creates distance. When Adam and Eve were first in the garden, there was no distance between them and God. When sin entered the picture, the first thing you hear God says, Adam, where are you? There's distance that exists now that didn't exist before sin. Sin cultivates shame. How many people know when you've done something wrong, you feel shame? Six of us. All right, well, good for you. You're like, I sin and feel good about it. Thank you. I don't struggle at all. Well, I don't know about you, but there are times when I've done things that I knew dishonored God and displeased God, and that overwhelming sense of, I hurt him, I hurt God, and I let myself down, or I let my mama down. She raised me better than this. I should have done something different. That shame kicks in. Shame will hold you hostage. How many of us have been held hostage to shame? And because you feel like you can't get free, you just go ahead and keep doing that same thing because after all, I guess this is just what it's gonna be. That's a lie. The enemy has got your mind hostage. That's why the Bible says, thank you, Holy Ghost, in this scripture in 1 Timothy, Jesus gave himself a ransom. Somebody say ransom. Ransom. You ever seen a movie when somebody's held hostage? Michael, they call a number, they were like, we want $1 million. You're never gonna see your loved one again. I was like, I got a couple cousins. I'll pay you maybe $37, but call me when the price goes down. They were like, he said you ain't worth but $37. Here's the thing. Sin wants to hold you hostage. Shame wants to hold you hostage. Guilt and condemnation want to hold you hostage. Sin creates distance, cultivates shame, and the third thing sin does is it corrupts intimacy.
Hallelujah. God wants us to understand his purpose for unity and why he's called us as believers to overcome division. In fact, God enhances your life because as you build connections with others, relationship becomes an avenue by which God can bless you. That's why I want you to get this latest series, Bridge Builders. You'll see how God is gathering people of all races, creeds, and backgrounds together in Christ. In Christ. Everybody say it. Say in Christ. No, you didn't say it. Say it. In Christ. That's right. So call the number on your screen or log on to the website to request your copy. Remember, your gift enables inspiring Christian programming to remain on the air and reach people around the world who desperately need to hear the good news of Christ. One of y'all gonna call and I'm gonna answer the phone. It's gonna shock y'all. I'm gonna be like, hello, you want this series? How many series you want? You want three? Because you know your aunt need one and your cousin. That's why we appreciate your willingness to come alongside us as we make an impact for Christ. Thank you, and God bless you.
The enemy is working to divide us. Through circumstances and situations, we're witnessing growing levels of separation in families, between friends, and within the people of our nation. But Christ has overcome the enemy, and in his new three-part series, Bridge Builders, Destroying the Barriers That Separate, Pastor John Gray says, enough is enough.
There are some things that you couldn't get through, so Jesus knew he was gonna have to stretch himself out. Is anybody grateful for the bridge?
John Gray exposes the devilish tactics that bring strife, mistrust, and discord, and reveals how God's blessings flow and his love brings unity. This is such a timely message. We want to send you your own copy of Bridge Builders as our thank you for your gift of support to TBN. And in appreciation of your generous gift of $50 or more, we'll send you this special bundle of resources. In addition to Bridge Builders, we'll include John Gray's stirring message, A Strange Way to Save the World. Plus, we'll include this special Praise Break ceramic coffee mug to remind you that praise can break through any barrier. Take a moment right now to call or go securely and conveniently online to choose your level of giving and request your special resources. Let God bridge the divides that separate us and become His instrument of unity and reconciliation. Don't wait. Call now.
I'm so glad you stopped by to listen to this message and spend some time with me. I appreciate that sacrifice. I believe God is going to have a major impact in these very difficult days and the days ahead through a unified body of Jesus Christ believers. You and me, all of us, we're a part of that. A church without walls, full of loving people who are willing to build bridges to connect with others. Instead of reinforcing walls built on lies, I want to encourage you to keep tuning in, because we are going to continue to share spiritual truths to help you enhance your life so you can be a walking example of what being blessed in Jesus looks like. Jesus died for the whole world, and the whole world doesn't just speak your language. There are over 180 different nations in this earth, and all of them need the gospel. And one day, we'll all be together, lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus together. And I can't wait to see you there. Thank you for being a part of what we are doing through your generosity. It is truly honored and appreciated, as it gives us the ability to reach those we'd otherwise never be able to reach for the Lord. Thank you, love you, God bless, and I'll see you next time on John Gray's World. Boo!